Episode 7.
Hi.
The Devil and Darren.
How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm good. How's your morning?
Good. I went on a bike ride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is a little different. We're on the weekend here.
Yeah. Normally, I mean, everybody's working for the weekend.
Yeah. Normally, I come over after a long day of work and just complain.
Yeah.
But I feel okay today.
Okay, that was episode 7.
Well, I
mean, we
guys.
Have nothing to talk about then.
No. Tell me something to complain.
I mean, we got into an interesting discussion. We were like, all right, what are we going to talk about today? So we started talking about learning the language, right?
Yes. And we should clarify that because it's kind of like we're talking about if you immigrate to a country.
Mm-hmm.
And there is already a primary language set, not set in stone, but
sure.
Set.
There. It exists.
Correct.
Right.
And what does it take to integrate?
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to...
It's very, very delicate of you.
Yeah, very touchy subject sometimes.
Some guy that's listening to this that only knows Japanese is not going to be mad at you.
I know, because he doesn't know our language.
You're so PC. yeah, I mean, when we first started talking about it, my perspective, obviously, in a restaurant, like, I was surrounded by a lot of people that's primary language was Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my expectation wasn't that they go and learn English. I mean, I'd like that.
Because yeah.
I would have been a more effective leader if I could communicate at that level with them. But more taking the responsibility and learning it myself. So I learned enough to get by.
Yeah, just like simple directions.
Right. But like. I knew that if I knew more, I'd be more effective. And I knew I was only really in control of myself when it comes to that stuff.
Like, where's the baby back ribs?
I mean, that stuff I could say. It's more like, Juan is sleeping with, you know, Alex's wife, and like, they don't like working this shift with this manager. Like, some of that stuff got a little too complicated
for
me.
Oh, wow. That actually happened?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I don't know if that exactly, but there were like tension between cooks.
Wow.
And some cooks didn't like working under these circumstances or these managers. And when you're a general manager, you want to figure out like what works best. You know, it's about oiling the machine.
Well, that's very nice of you. But if you don't like working under a certain manager, who cares?
Well, it's also like, well, I mean, I have to develop these managers.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you can let the managers know that there might be an issue, but that's the employee needs to be able to work.
Oh, of course,
without,
and they did.
Yeah,
but I mean, if. The whole point is if I was able to talk to them, because it's all about culture.
Yeah.
You know, if I was able to talk to them and figure out what works best for them or what irritates them about this manager or that manager or this worker, you know, with a few conversations, I might be able to make their environment a lot easier.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I felt like, you know, I needed to learn more Spanish. I just didn't have enough time to do that.
Well, yeah, because you're an adult and you're working.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, did they ever grasp any English along the way to, like, kind of...
Sadly, it was almost the same amount as me. Maybe a little less just because, you know, like, for them to get by, for the cooks or whoever to get by,
mm-hmm.
They needed to know at least what was up on the screen, which was all in English or... close to it, like, you know, and then people would obviously ask for things like, I need a side of this or a side of that, or I need this done this way. So they needed to learn that stuff. And it was difficult for the guys that didn't know very much.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like super rah-rah, this is the country, this is the way it goes.
No.
So I'm not like super anti that, but there's a part of me that's like, you know, hey, when, you know, whatever immigrants, whatever year you came over, I mean, I think about, you know, the Ellis Island immigrants a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they had to do the same thing,
yeah.
and a lot of them learned, you know, some English to get by. And obviously, they came from an area where English was probably a little bit more prevalent too, because of the you know, the British version of English
mm-hmm.
being worldwide at that point.
Right.
But you know, if you come in, like if I went to Japan, I wouldn't just expect people to cater to me.
No. And I don't think that's the expectation, like, in California, it's kind of unique, though. I mean, I feel like it's a big melting pot here. It's very liberal.
Yeah.
You get... what is the primary language here?
It's hard because, A, it used to be run by the Spanish heritage, mm-hmm. and then the United States came in and took the land,
mm-hmm.
and then they tried to come back to the land. And so it's kind of like, that's why it's a touchy subject, because it's like, yeah, it's our country now, but it wasn't always. So it's so hard to, just like tell people what they need to do. And that's the toughest part.
I think I respect so I'm jealous, I should say, of anyone that's bilingual.
Yeah, oh, me too.
It's so, I know some people that know three languages, and I'm just like, yeah. I wish I was you.
Yeah, I grew up in, you know, central Pennsylvania, and I worked with it was a family-owned restaurant, but it was owned by Greeks, and their kids, and then bilingual, 100%. Mm. And it's just like, man, I wish schools integrated a language system at a younger age, then, instead of like trying to teach you by the time you're 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. I wish they would put it in at like a first, second, or third, or give the kids an opportunity at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I mean, you don't realize how much you're missing out on by not being able to speak a different language.
I mean, it does open up a lot of opportunities, you know? I mean, my cousin even did actually some translating. She got way into that, knew a few languages, and I find it so interesting, those people that have that skill set to like grasp a language and you know, take it on. But you know, it's tough. I mean, I understand the other side of the coin, and I understand
the peso
in this case. Yes, I mean, I think one of the things that holds a lot of the Mexican immigrants in California back is the fact that they get out here, they want to just start making money right away to send back to their families. They don't really have time to learn another language because, you know, they're taking on two, three, sometimes four jobs. Like, I knew a guy that worked at two restaurants and gardened on the week, like on his free time. And it was all to like save up and support his family. So I can't sit there and say, hey, you're really frustrating me for not knowing English. It's like, he came out here with a mission and it was to make the money that you can make in the US, which you can't make in Mexico.
Yeah.
And do the jobs that no one wants to do out here.
Well, and, I mean, if there wasn't a giant group of people doing those jobs already, somebody would do those jobs.
Yeah, and I mean that's very true. But the culture out here, since it hasn't cooking, like when I was trying to hire cooks, I mean, since we had to go through this program I-9, I-9 verification, it made it very difficult, because back in the day, they would just show us fake IDs or whatever, and it's like, all this stuff looked real. We'd be like, okay, cool. We'd fill it all out. Everything's fine.
Yeah. And you know, I agree with you. I totally support the whole supporting the family thing, and you can't blame anyone for wanting to do that. There's you can't. But at the same time, it would make their life easier.
Mm-hmm.
It would. Oh, no, absolutely. It would make everyone's life easier.
Absolutely.
And
becoming citizens too. I mean, I was going to finish I had to plug it into a program, all their information, and oftentimes they wouldn't be able to get a job because it was like duplicates or this guy was dead or whatever the case may be, and there's just no one else to hire.
Yeah, like I remember, I know with my job I work with a non-standard auto insurance company. What that means is they give insurance to people who don't have driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. And
which was when that bill came out not too long ago, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It sounds like it's a market where it needed to be covered, because, you know, even if you didn't have a language, a lot of those people would be
uninsured motorists, driving around.
They'd
be
doing it anyway,
right?
And this way, at least the people who are insured, like with, you know, bigger companies like your Progressives or your State Farms, you know, they're being covered just in case.
Right.
Because now someone else is covered.
Sure.
And so it's one of those where it's a tough subject, but like my job is harder because when I call people who are involved in accidents and they don't even speak English, my question is how are you out driving, reading signs and doing things that, you know, you should be able to be a part of this culture and read what stop and yield and do all these things are.
Well, let's be fair. Mm-hmm. I think any of us could go to a country and be okay with the basics, or at least learn those pretty quick. Reading a sign versus having a conversation about insurance.
Yeah, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. I think there's a big difference, but I get that. I mean, it's a good argument, and there's going to be signs that are much more detailed, like, hey, there's a huge accident up ahead, or, you know, all those things. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But, you know, it's tough. I guess it really comes down to the individual and what they're why they're doing it all. You know, are they just out to make money and maybe go back to Mexico and have a better life, or wherever they're from, or are they there for good?
Yeah, and I don't want to like sit here and harp on Spanish speaking, you know, no, Mexicans or anything. It's you know, there's a lot of Asian immigrants out here. There's Russian. There's Armenian. There's a lot of people in this area. So it's not just one thing. It's just it would make. It would make things easier if there was a primary language in a specific area.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's the hardest part, is you telling certain people what they have to learn.
Well, you were saying something in the kitchen actually that was very interesting, that about the Japanese and the Germans, right?
Yeah, I don't remember where I read it. It might have been like a Malcolm Gladwell book or Bill Bryson or something like that. But it was about the English language and how German business and Japanese business. It was difficult for them to learn each other's language. Mm-hmm. So they agreed to learn English.
Yeah.
And that became a huge deal, because now English is like the business language.
It's like a business language.
And
yeah.
So the Chinese know English, a lot of Europe knows English, and it's you know, Australia does, you know, there's so much English in the world now that it's become the primary language, not in the world, but as far as business goes. It makes it a lot easier to have one language.
Well, the universal language is math, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Nerd.
I'm a nerd.
No, it's okay. I appreciate it.
But yes, I believe that is. But you can't obviously express emotions with a division sign or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Unless some math nerd's really into it and he just starts crying. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So. It's definitely a tough subject, because you don't want to I wouldn't want somebody to make a bill or pass a law saying like what I had to do as far as a language. I get that. But if you come to the country that is already a primary English speaking country,
it's kind of
should be put in that direction.
Totally. And I feel like, okay, if I went to a new country, I would. And I knew I was going to be there for a while. I would definitely spend the time before and during to learn that language.
Or at least the basic, parts of it. Like,
I'd want to go further than that. I mean, one of the things that I appreciate about knowing a language is like how much deeper a relationship you can have with people. Like, I enjoy this person and their humor and their perspective because I understand them.
Well, it's also safer. You have a bigger community. Like, you can, like, say you go to a country you don't know, or you're in a spot you don't know, and you have
totally
to ask someone a question. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
No. So, I mean, I get that.
Like,
my
buddy just got back. Didn't just get back. He visited home after being in Taiwan for the last 4 or 5 years. And we were asking him, how much of the language do you know? And he goes, some. I didn't really try to learn too much, but I knew your basics. I'm like, but you've been there for like 4 years. He goes,
wow.
Yeah, I just wish that, I hit it pretty well from people, but I can
point. Which is an amazing skill.
I can point to things that I want. So I'm like, yeah, but that's so like... I mean, it's almost disrespectful in a sense.
Even more so, I just feel like, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, here you are, like, surrounded. You have a million tutors.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And you know what he said when he came back? He goes, he likes being back in the States for the... Like, the one reason he likes being back in the States is that he can hear what other people are talking about around him. I'm like, yeah, that's why you would learn the language.
You absorb so much from that, you know, people watching.
Yeah.
It's funny, you brought up that whole deal with, like, he faked it.
Yeah.
I am shocked at how good people are at that.
Oh, yeah.
I have cooks that just, or had cooks, excuse me, that were just, I thought they were just fluent in English. And then when it got down to the nitty gritty, they had the 1,000-mile stare. And I was just like, oh, you don't understand me. And I'm like, wow. Like, that is amazing. You know, it's kind of like how some old people kind of, like, get by, basically hide the fact that they don't know what the fuck is going on. There's some people that are just like, early dementia, or just they don't have good memories anymore, and they're just like, and they nod and they have a good time. Do you remember this?
I remember when FaceTime came out, and like trying to explain it to my grandma, it was just like this foreign thing. Like, it was just like a monkey with a camera.
Or two symbols, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I know language is definitely important, and I know they take it pretty seriously at like casinos and stuff. Like, if you go to a poker table, or blackjack, it's English only.
Yeah.
They do not take crap. Yeah. Like if you start speaking another language at the table, they catch it.
Yeah.
And they yell at you. And
well, it does cause, I mean, that's the another benefit of being bilingual. You could probably get away with a lot if you have another person like, you know, tipping you off.
Heck yeah.
It's crazy. So what do you think, like, I mean, what do you think ultimately the rule should be, or what is the perfect life then in this perspective, you know?
Well, I think
just to learn, but like you have to pass a certain test before you can come in. I mean, obviously people like illegally crossing the border aren't going to like be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I know citizenship requires that, you know, and to know the basic history. So what do you think? How do we do this?
Well, it has to be from both sides, obviously. Like, I think the good thing is about like young kids are adaptive. So if you're an immigrant, you come over and your kids are only hearing a certain language from the house, they're going to learn English at school.
Yeah.
They're almost forced to.
Yeah.
So that generation coming up next is probably going to be better for it. So it's good. But I feel like there still should be almost not a requirement, but they should definitely, there should, especially for citizenship, there should be a specific requirement to maybe take a class.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't know what the best way to do it is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It has to go with the school.
I think it just comes down to first-generation immigrants. Like, when they first come in, I mean, a lot of times, at least illegal ones, like, they're just coming in here to work, and then they end up having families.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's really sad is, it's exactly what you're talking about. You have these bilingual kids that kind of carry the weight of the family.
Yeah.
And they become, like, they have to do all the diplomacy and help out with absolutely everything to help, you know, live in this like English or whatever speaking world.
Yeah.
And
At work we send out, you know, for contact, we send out like contact letters to people, like if we can't reach them on the phone.
Right.
And half the time they don't even speak English on the phone. They're not going to be able to read this letter we're sending.
Right.
So it's hard. I mean, there has to be some sort of perfect median. And I think schools should, like, I don't know, when you went to high school, when did they start teaching or offering new languages?
I mean, right off the bat, my freshman year.
Of high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's not right off the bat.
Oh, no. Yeah, I thought you said, like, when in high school. In my schooling?
Yeah,
that's tough.
I do know
that private schools do start early, but not everyone can afford that.
Yeah. Well, that should be something that should be integrated earlier, like maybe like second or third grade easily, because like first grade is hard enough, you're getting used to that schooling, but then second grade you're there.
Well, I think it's the conservative approach where it's like, well, why would we need to learn a different language if we're in this country?
I don't think it should be a requirement, but they should offer it.
And
I remember in, I don't know how your school was set up, but I think I vaguely remember in sixth, seventh, or eighth, they started like bringing in, like, you took a class for like a month maybe. And you learned Spanish, French, or German, and then that since they offered it in high school, they gave you like a taste of it,
right?
So that you could definitely choose it.
So
later
if you're
on.
Like, oh, I like this,
yeah,
you can move on.
You can do
it
next year,
sure.
But they need to start offering that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about? I mean, I don't know if this happened much in Pennsylvania, but how do you feel about when you're like driving by and you see a billboard that's like in Spanish?
I don't know. I don't know what to think about it.
Yeah. There's like a part of me that gets frustrated because I'm like, man, like that's not what I speak. And like, I'm in, this is like my neighborhood. Like,
yeah.
But then I also think like they're really targeting specific people and a specific language and a specific group marketing wise. So it makes sense, I'm sure, for the dollar spent to broadcast this, but it's kind of a counterculture at times.
I think it divides people. So I understand, like, yeah, we took their land originally, but like if you took everything and you washed all that away and you take it for what it is right now,
sure,
there has to be something, because like in Japan, how many languages do they speak in Japan? I'm sure there's different dialects, but they speak Japanese, right?
Yeah.
China, there's like what, two languages maybe, since it's so huge. There's like Mandarin and Cantonese.
Cantonese, yeah.
So yeah, there's two. But I don't know how different it is. So it's hard, but
yeah, it's really tough.
So but in England they speak English, in German they speak
Well,
German.
Do you think, I know, gosh, this would probably be an uproar, but if people learned and passed specific tests and got a tax break?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know what
I would
mean?
Totally learn then.
You know, no matter
incentive,
what,
yeah, that's
you know,
good,
like incentivize it, and I think it would also open up maybe the potential for it both ways, like people learn Spanish, people learn English. Like if you're trying to get involved in the culture and grow as a person and make communication an important part, maybe like a nice, you know, tax cut or credit would really help.
I mean, heck, they already do it with marriage and kids.
Yeah.
Throw in a language.
Well, I just listened to it. It was either, I think it was a TED Talk or This American Life. It's one of the podcasts I really enjoy from NPR. They talked about this one area where there was a bunch of murders, high murder rate. Mm-hmm. And they looked through all the files and they found it came down to like 12 specific guys. Yeah. Like they just kept coming up. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, if we target these 12 specific guys, maybe we can reduce you know, the crime rate. So they called them all in, and most of them agreed, and they said, listen, we want you to have a better life. We want you to, you know, get a job, get an education, do all this stuff. And if you do this, you know, we'll incentivize you. And so at the end, they passed out this envelope, and everyone, all of them got $1,000. So they're like, what? So to continue to get paid, they had to continue to stay out of trouble, and the crime rate dropped.
Oh, wow.
Rapidly. Now, the problem is then there was, like, obviously a lot of citizens that were like, oh, so I just have to, like, threaten people and murder people, and I can start getting paid? Like, I get that. That sucks.
Yeah.
But at least it got them off the, like, you know, got them.
There's always those weird experiments that people hate, and I know, like, in Vegas there was one with alcoholics and homeless people, where what they would do is, it was, because, like, all these alcoholics would be like stumbling and crack their head open on the sidewalk, and the amount of hospital bills that it took to like keep them alive for the time they were in there.
Right.
What they started doing is they just started like building these like apartments and giving people keys to the apartments to live for free. So it was cheaper for them to pay their own rent than to hospitalize them. And it's just like the rest of the people in the area were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I have to pay my mortgage, you know?
But it was saving the state, like, money, but it just sucked because these people could just go back out on the street and, like, waste their life and then get something free out of it. Yeah. And it's just, it's a hard argument. But
it is. Well, but it makes it interesting because, to kind of bring it back to language, like, if you give it like an equal opportunity to learn Spanish as it is English, then everyone has a chance to get this credit.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe we should rally for this.
Yeah, we should definitely write or tweet the mayor.
That's how you do it nowadays.
Yeah, tweet it. 146 characters. Or is that it?
156? I don't know. You're the tweeter.
I don't know. I don't tweet that much.
You tweet often.
Sometimes.
You Facebook.
I do Facebook. Yes.
I don't do any of that.
Yeah. Instagram. But then you don't get to see me complain
when I'm not here. I do once a week, and I get it on tape.
Okay, that's good.
So this has been an interesting one. I mean, can you think of any other angles or any other cultures where this is like an issue? I mean, I know like Angel Island in San Francisco was a huge internment camp during World War II, so the Asian population was out there.
Yeah.
And when they finally were like, okay, you're not all horrible terrorists, we'll release you, they set up shop. That's why there's such a huge Asian community in the north, right?
Okay.
Northern California. And they had to establish themselves with shops and all this different, you know, how else can you survive?
Yeah, I mean,
You have to learn English. They do have like Little China or, you know, Chinatown, excuse me, Little China. What was that one movie with Kurt Douglas?
Big Trouble.
In Little China? Yeah, that's probably what I was thinking of. But there are areas like that that have a lot of native speakers. But
well, it would help immigrants out in a sense if they bought into the idea of like learning the language to help their businesses if they had them, because a lot of the times I might walk up past the business and if it's in, you know, a specific Asian language that I wouldn't be able to read, I would just kind of walk by it,
right?
Because I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what the business is.
Yeah, no, that's true. In those areas where it's just specifically like, you know, Koreatown and stuff, you're like,
I mean, they'll get enough business from the people that speak their language, but imagine what they could do if they brought it in a different, you know, culture.
That's interesting because I have been shown so much good food from like Korean friends of mine and Japanese friends who took me to places like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's this like almost like the social media way of like getting the word out. Like, hey, you know, you're in this area, you're probably going to be friends with, you know, a Korean person, and then you're going to bring in your white friends, and then I don't know, whenever I went into those areas, there was tons of white people.
Yeah, just imagine how productive the country could be if, like, you could have communicated 100% or maybe 75% to your workers.
Yeah.
It would be
think
so
how
much...
many times there like so much conflict that would never have happened if people knew what, you know.
And it's not even like you being able to communicate with them. It's vice versa. Yeah. I mean, it's like, hey, you know, I can't, you know, come in on this day at this hour, you know, because I'm doing this.
Right.
It's just more complex sentences could have been had.
Yeah. I guess the moral of the story is learn as many languages as possible, especially the one that's most useful.
And let's get something going. Start tweeting the mayor or governor, whoever can get on this.
Get out there. Credit us.
Yeah. It's not our idea.
I'm surrounded by Germans.
Yeah.
I want to learn Germany. Is that what it's called?
What?
Well, yeah, please check out Condo Gray School at condograyschool.com. Podcast at condograyschool.com is our email. So send in some questions and tell me what you think. You know, what are your feelings about this?
And
you know?
Don't send us anything in a different language because we're not going to read
that's,
it.
That's rude.
Come on.
I'll probably Google translate it. But
I won't even take the time.
I know, because you hate everything.
I don't hate everything. Bye.